Blog Talk Radio.
Brought your burdens, brought your pain, but I have a message for you today, that when you leave here, won't be the into your position. Look at you, there's been no change in your condition. Reach out and touch the master's robe. There's healing for your mind, oh, your body and your soul, yes, there is. Hallelujah. God can heal.
God can heal.
Oh, yeah.
He can heal.
And he can mend a broken.
He can mend your broken.
About the situation, but with every test and every trial, there is revelation that God is able to supply every one of your needs. He's here to touch and heal you. That you'll have your healing. Once God works a miracle to feed your needs, go tell the Lord, oh, what you have received. Hallelujah.
Lord,
Bible study time, you all work with me on this evening. Just having a little technical difficulty here. I'm having to use a different system. But we thank God for this time. God bless you, Mother, Miss Kanye. I see that you're here in Bible study. I can't see anyone else right now because I'm trying to deal with this system. So just give me a minute here. And today we're going to talk about strongholds. So this is pretty much going to be a series. The understanding we're pulling down strongholds are, so we're going to talk about, you know, an invisible spiritual warfare that's going on right now, and understanding that there are two kingdoms. It's the kingdom of God, and Satan has a kingdom as well. So we can have an understanding of what that is and, you know, how that works. So we'll be talking about the invisible spiritual warfare that we're fighting here every day. We'll talk about open warfare and a highly organized satanic kingdom as well, and the war that's in the heavenlies. So when you hear what's bound on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatever loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven, and understanding how that operates as well. And we'll talk about the seven weapons of warfare here in Bible study. We'll give everybody a little bit more time because some people are still calling an old number. So if you all just give me a minute here, I'm going to try to log back into the system here because I'm having some issues with this today. So just give me a moment. I hope everybody's doing well. God bless everyone. Let me just start this over with. So as everybody logs on right now, we just thank God for the opportunity to be here. Let us pray. Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord. We thank you for your mercy and your grace that's new to us right now, Father God. We ask, Holy Spirit of the living God, that you will lead us in prayer. Lead us in this Bible study, Father God, that we may hear from you. Oh, Lord, that we receive deliverance, peace, joy, and happiness, and breakthrough in every situation in our life in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, that curses will be broken, chains will be broken, strongholds broken and destroyed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord. We thank you for everyone that's on the line right now, Father God, who was able to be here, Lord God, the purpose and heart to be here in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord. We can't thank you enough again still. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. Oh, Lord, have mercy on us right now. Lord, we need a little more grace on today in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask, Lord God, as we read your word and study your word this evening, Father God, that you will open up our understanding and bless us for revelation and knowledge and understanding of your word and wisdom to apply your word to our daily lives so we may live a life that is upright and pleasing to thy sight in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we ask that you allow the scripture to take root and manifest in us, mind, body, soul, and spirit, and be engrafted on our hearts and mind, helping us to keep our minds stayed on you, that you would keep us in perfect peace. Oh, Lord, we just want to say thank you, oh God. Lord, we ask that you add a blessing to the reader, the hearer, and most of all, the doers of your word. And we decree and declare that we are the doers of God's word. And Father God, we thank you and we love you. We thank you, Lord God. We can't thank you enough. If we had 1,000 tongues of peace, we thank you. Because if it had not been for you on our side, where would we be? And we just want to say thank you and we love you. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. To God be the glory. And we all say amen, amen, amen. His sister Mackie and Sharon, my mother, Care, Miss Connie, and everyone else that is here on Bible study tonight. Welcome. I can hear you all. If y'all can say hello so I can hear you.
Hello. How are you?
How you doing?
Hello.
We thank God for everybody here on Bible study this evening. So we're going to be studying pulling down strongholds. I've been studying that and understanding with strongholds. A lot of times we have strongholds and they're just, you know, that's what it is, strongholds, something that's holding us, that's keeping us from progressing in what God has for us to do. So how do we overcome those strongholds? First, we have to understand what is a stronghold, you know, and then we can understand how we can overcome it and how it's been operating in our life. So just give you all just a little bit about Doreen is here. How you doing, Sister Dudley? Welcome. God bless you. Welcome to Bible study. Thank God for everyone. So we're just going to give a little introduction about, you know, pulling down strongholds as we're talking about the invisible kingdom and it all. You all can grab your pen and paper. We'll be coming out the book of Matthew, but I'll kind of be everywhere in Matthew, but you can have the notes to go back to it. And I won't hold you all long to this evening. And I'll stop if you all have any questions. You can ask those questions. Again, we're talking about stuff. We're studying pulling down strongholds. Excuse me. And so we're going to cover the invisible spiritual warfare that we're having. We'll talk about open warfare and a highly organized satanic kingdom that Satan has, because there are more than one kingdom, God's kingdom and a Satan kingdom. A lot of times we hear about the kingdom of God, but understanding that there Satan has a kingdom and he has agents that operate, angels. There are good angels and there are bad angels. So as we know, the good angels, they operate in God's kingdom. No bad angels that were cast out from heaven, they operate in the kingdom of Satan. So we'll talk about that and have an understanding, because a lot of times we're going, well, no, it can't be this and that. And some people don't believe in spirits when we are spirit. So we do have a spiritual warfare. A lot of times it's going on within ourselves. There's spirits that are trying to overtake us. So let's talk about it. So as you are aware that there is an invisible war going on all around us right now. So, and you are aware that you are destined to fight in this war because we are spiritual beings. So the ministry of Jesus Christ on earth demonstrated the basic fact that there are two invisible spiritual kingdoms that are at war with one another. So one is the kingdom of God, which we are a part of, and the other is the kingdom of Satan. So even a casual reading of the New Testament reveals undeniably that Jesus regularly and effectively engaged you all in what could be termed spiritual warfare. So it is the purpose of a lot of things that are going on right now, and while we're going to study this today and examine the concept of spiritual warfare as a definite, clear, identifiable aspect of Christian living. So a lot of times we're praying and we'll enter into spiritual warfare not even understanding, or some people try to go into spiritual warfare not prepared, and then they come out of that thing beat up and beat down, and, you know, they go in and come out worse than what they went into. So you got to be prepared and know how to arm yourself in spiritual warfare. And we're going to talk about the arm of God. How do we cover ourselves in spiritual warfare? You hear about the armor of God. So how do we apply the armor of God on us so that we can war in the spirit? Because you hear people talking about, oh, I'm going in, I'm going to fight this spiritual warfare, and they have no idea what they're talking about. They're just, you know, going by what they either heard or heard somebody else say or do, and they have no idea. They'll just start repeating what they've heard when I understand the attack, you know, the true attack of spiritual warfare. Does anybody have any questions? If I'm moving too fast or talking too fast, let me know. Hello, y'all got to work with me here. I need some feedback. Y'all got me on mute.
No, you're doing good.
Okay. I need some feedback because the lines are open, so y'all not muted. So we like in the classroom setting here, even though you are called into the show. It's an open setting for Bible study. So if you all have any questions, you know, give me some feedback. So I don't want to just be talking and moving fast. I want to make sure that we're getting what is taught here in Bible study. Or if you have your pen and paper and you're writing it down and you need me to slow down, or if I can repeat that, just ask me if I can repeat it, and then I'll repeat it for you. Okay. All right.
Okay. I put my phone on mute because a lot of times I can't hear what you be saying because, you know, a lot of people be talking, and I just always mute my phone while you playing the words.
All right, so I got that. So that way I won't be like, are y'all there? Okay, but if you have any questions, just say, anybody have any questions, just say, Pastor. And then I'll ask, who is this? And I'll make sure I get to everybody. If you just say, Pastor, and I'll say, who is this? And then we'll get to you. Or if you didn't repeat it, just say, Pastor, repeat that, please. And I'll repeat it again for you. So I want to make sure we all understand. It's important that we understand, you know, pulling down strongholds and the spiritual warfare that we're in daily. You know, Satan doesn't stop. His agents doesn't stop. Okay, so in the process, we were established some of the guidelines here to help us wage spiritual warfare effectively as followers of Christ Jesus. So as Christians, you would most likely not hesitate to affirm the concept that God has a kingdom, right? So we know that there's a kingdom. God has a kingdom. So what we may be more problematic for us is that, and what we may not even have been aware of, is the reality that Satan also has a kingdom. For indeed he does, and it is crucial for us, for you and I as the believers, believing Christians, you all, to understand the nature of his kingdom and how it operates. So on yesterday and last night, I had to take myself or be taken to the hospital. You know, and before I even got there, I had wrote, we have a plan board in the room, and I wrote, it's already done, like early part of the day, it's already done, in Jesus' name, I know what's to come, but because I into spiritual warfare on a daily basis, I pray for a lot of people, I'm an intercessor, so warring in the spirit and coming against those things and uprooting those things and, you know, and creating the clan and Satan, you're destroyed, and, you know, just, you know, daily spiritual warfare. So I went in, there was an attack on my body, but I came out victorious, so thank God I'm here and able to do Bible study this evening. So let's talk about being drafted into warfare. So if you are a citizen of the kingdom of God through faith in Christ, you are automatically at war with the kingdom of Satan. If you didn't realize that or not, you are, because you're part of God's kingdom. So that automatically puts you in the position to be at war. Okay, y'all got that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to get there. Okay. So we know that we are, because we have faith in Christ, so we are automatically at war with the kingdom of Satan. So many people don't recognize this fact. So let me illustrate the point here. Suppose we were a citizen of Australia or another country that went to war. So God would start to be set up with New Zealand. We trust this sort of conflict would never actually happen. But if it were so, then a citizen of Australia and I would automatically be at war with New Zealand, because we would belong to a nation that was at war with another nation. So when the U.S. go against another country, we're not actually, because we're in the, because we're United States, U.S. citizens, we're automatically part of that war because we're with the U.S. So you all understand that part, right? So, and so if it is for us as citizens of God's kingdom, since the kingdom of God is at war with the kingdom of Satan, we are citizens of God's kingdom, then we have no other option. We are inevitably involved in the war with the kingdom of Satan. So since we are already in this war, let us discover the answer to these basic questions, the more you are, about why is there spiritual warfare and who is fighting whom, and with which side are we aligned, and how can we wage spiritual warfare with discernment and effectiveness? Because if we can see it, a lot of times we're coming against that person, but if we understand the war, the spirit that's operating in that person, then we can call that thing out. You know, we can call that thing out and say, come out in the name of Jesus Christ, and have the spirit of, you know, the spirit of infirmity, the spirit of affliction, come out. You know, we come against that spirit. We know that's not a spirit of God. Sickness is not a spirit of God. So we call that thing out, the spirit that's operating against us to destroy us. The Bible tells us that he's coming out, but to kill, sin, and destroy. And so when we know that to be truth and factual, we don't have to consume ourselves with anything outside of the kingdom of God. Amen? So we thank God right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, all is said and done, all is good. So we thank God right now. God, we just want to say thank you and we love you.
Thank you.
So we thank God right now for the lesson that's going forward in Jesus' name, and all that God is doing and all that God is about to do in our lives, and all of you that we are praying about when we're knowing that we're kingdom that we belong to. So as long as we know what kingdom that we're operating in, we can trust God and believe that we are winners because we're in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Anybody else have any questions? Nobody have any questions?
No.
Dude,
I don't.
Okay, good. All right, y'all, I'm kind of moving around here. So if y'all could just bear with me, I really appreciate it. This is just kind of doing something different. So we're going to move into this. Thank God. Okay. So we're talking about now open warfare. So if you write down open warfare, we're going to talk about open warfare right now. Open warfare. All right, y'all. So we're going to begin our study here. We're talking about open warfare. We're still talking about pulling down strongholds. This is the umbrella for pulling down strongholds. When we know what we're pulling down, what we're dealing with, the reality of evil spirits. So to begin here in our study on the nature of spiritual warfare, we will examine a passage from Matthew 12, you all. And like I said, you all can write down Matthew 12, and then we'll kind of go through it about what it is. So we're looking here at Matthew 12. The background for this account is that Jesus had just healed a man by casting out the evil spirit that had caused him to be blind and mute. Right?
So we're talking about the spirit here. We're talking about spirit of infirmity, spirit of affliction, spirits that cause sickness, spirits that cause disease, spirits that cause ache and pain, spirits that cause separation and division, you know, spirits that cause us to operate differently outside of the will of God, outside of how God will have us to operate and be. So the reality of evil spirits, before we go further, let us point out here that even in today's modern world, evil spirits cause people to be blind, deaf, or mute. So when you see those people, understand that there's spirits that's operating and are causing them to be that way. You know, a lot of times we see people, we wonder why, well, how would that be? Well, why would God let that be? There are different kings that are operating. A lot of times we don't understand how is that and why is that happening, you know, to that person or those people. And why would God allow that to continue to happen in them? And why would, you know, God allow children to be killed? A lot of times we don't understand that there's a spirit that's been operating. It's a generational curse. And so that spirit has been, it's been transferred from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. If you ever know some people, they are, you'll see that same thing. You're like, wow, that happened to their grandfather, or they, you know, in the great grandfather. It's a generational curse because that spirit has been operating in their family for generation from generation to generation. But you can break those generational curses. Does that make sense to you all?
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
Okay. You want to say something about it, Sharon?
No, I understand it. I just don't question it. I understand. I just let God do his will. Whatever his will is, it's going to be done. We're not supposed to question that. He know what he's doing. We don't know why he's doing it, but
we don't know why. It's like with everything else that's been going on, because there's a kingdom. We understand that there are people that are operating in the kingdom of Satan. There are people that they're believing it. They're doing their thing according to what they've been taught to do, you know, and to go about and just destroying, going about this or destroying people, breaking down things. And if we understand that, because I think everybody feels like everybody believes in God and everybody's operating in their kingdom, or we want everybody to be their way, but they're not that way. But when we can understand when God is doing something, we're like, well, why would that happen? You know, why would they only wipe out this many people? And why would this, you know, we're constantly questioning why and how.
That's something I don't ever do. I don't question God. Ever.
So once we understand, you know, we're talking about the kingdom. I see Pastor Manning is on the call here. Let's see if he want to add to the lesson. Pastor Manning, you want to say something?
Amen. I'm just going to stay right here in agreement. I thank God for the message that's going forth on tonight. Amen.
We were talking about strongholds, and I want you to come in with me on this because me and you both were studying strongholds. And I decided to go ahead and just kind of teach on strongholds because a lot of times we don't understand, you know, we're operating in that strong, and, you know, we continue to operate according to this stronghold that's been holding us, whether it's pride, whether it's lust, or whatever that hold is. Some of us, it's food. It's, you know, nobody can tell you. It's a stronghold that's keeping you back from going forward. And so me and Pastor Amanda, we were both, we were studying this. And I believe we got to like the fourth chapter or something like that. And it's very interesting because when you begin to understand how that works, you know, we should be able to begin to apply what we've learned to come against that. And sometimes it's hard. I know a lot of us have been in a position where we know we shouldn't have said that. We know we shouldn't have did that. But yet still we did. We said it, you know. But when we understand that there is a stronghold already, how do we overcome it? How do we break and destroy those strongholds? So, Pastor, what do you have to say?
Well, I tell you what, like I said, my wife said, you know, once we found out by breaking strongholds, now every single body have something that have caused itself to be caused itself to be an idol to you, something that you look up to, or something that you hold on to, something that you want and something that you desire in this world. So where strongholds come from, whatever that thing is that you are weak for, whatever that thing that you are desiring for, whoever it is or whoever it is, it can develop into a stronghold that's over your mind, a stronghold that's over your life, because it will begin to govern you. It will begin to govern you.
That's true.
Now, what we have to realize, you know, when you're breaking strongholds, you got to realize, you know, with strongholds, you have to realize that, I think my wife might have said this here, you know, that there are two kingdoms according to how you're living right now. There are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God and there's the kingdom of Satan. So now you need to realize that a lot of times you would be in one or you would be in the other. You would be operating in the kingdom of God. I'm talking about you would be trusting in God, you'd be trusting his word. But then when affliction comes, when things come, mm-hmm. you know, that'll show up, that it cause you to think a different type of way or think or feel a different type of way, you might be in the kingdom of Satan. Now, when I read that and when I found that out, you know, that frightened me because I had to look at myself in a manner of, mm-hmm. oh, my God, you know, look at here. Now I can see the reason why I'm saying and doing all the other things that that's not of God. The reason why I'm yeah. saying and doing all these things that's not of God because of the kingdom that I'm operating in. That's what yeah. Satan wants. That's what Satan wants. Satan wants to pull us out of the love of God, not to be in the kingdom of God and be in a part of his kingdom so he can destroy you. Every single body that's in Satan's kingdom will be destroyed. They will be destroyed. They will be destroyed. So if he can get you out of God's kingdom and get you mm-hmm. up in his kingdom, he know his Satan know that he is going to be destroyed. He know he has already been destroyed, but he want to destroy every single thing and every single body that's part of God's kingdom. That's how he recruit us over to say these things or to do these things and to feel these type of way, you know, to be, you know what I'm saying, in sickness and pain and disease and all these things.
Mm-hmm. Why?
You destroy these things by the name of Jesus. That's why we have the word of God. That's why we have the word mm-hmm. of God. And stand right there, because there's going to be times to where, you know, you're going to be in these places where you're going to be operating outside of the kingdom of God. But believe this. Believe this. When you trust in God and you trust, you know, that he's going to lead you through this valley of the shadow of death. He's going to lead you through these hard times, these pains and the affliction. You're going to come out on mm-hmm. the other side. And on the other side of what's going on in your life is paradise, and that's for you. That's for you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So as we're talking about the kingdom, you know, we're talking about the kingdom of God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom. So the kingdom of God, let's
yeah.
talk about that versus the kingdom of Satan. So returning down to Matthew 12, we're talking about, so let us read what, you know, happened. And me and my husband, we read over this, we've been studying it. So when Jesus set the pattern for the activity of deliverance, such as Ruth, and, you know,
yeah.
so, you know, we read the story of different people in the Bible. So let's talk about that. So in Matthew 12 and 24, now when the Pharisees heard it, that Jesus had delivered a man possessed by a blind and mute spirit,
yeah.
they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons.
Uh-huh.
So the Pharisees made a terrible accusation. Yeah, they said in effect that he can cast out demons because he is in the league with the ruler of the demons. And Jesus answered them, if you look in Matthew 12, verse 25 to 26 here, it says, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. So how then will his kingdom stand? You are this Matthew 12, 24 to verse 26. I'm sorry, I just kept going on, but I didn't say anything. So when we're looking at this, and we're talking about, you know, the two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. So when we look at these two passages, in this passage, Jesus stated very clearly that Satan has a kingdom, and that this, and that it is not, and that it is not divided. So while they're trying to say that, you know, he's operating, Beelzebub, you know, he's part of Satan. He's saying, well, if I'm casting out, how can Satan cast out Satan? You know, how am I gonna cast out what's me? And expect it to stand and grow. So we have to come against that of Satan. It's the kingdom of Satan. So then he went on to speak about the kingdom of God. So we look at Matthew verse 26, Matthew 12, verse 27 to 28. You all, we're gonna go through that. It says here, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore there shall be your therefore they shall be your judge. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. So here we see right here that there's two kingdoms. It's the kingdom of God and there's the kingdom of Satan. Okay? So does anybody have any questions so far? Pastor, you have anything to say so far about
this? You know, this is a lot to digest. You know, the one thing that you don't do is, you know, don't enter into that place of fear or enter into that place of being shame or condemnation. You know, because just even look, reading this word, you know, from this aspect can cause you to have an emotion or have a feeling that you would, you know, try to judge yourself. you would judge yourself and be like, oh my goodness, I'm in the kingdom of Satan, you know. But, you know, hey, you know, we have the word of God, you know, so thank God for this word.
Amen, amen. So we look at here that through the ministry of delivering people from evil spirits, you know, the clash between the two kingdoms is brought right out into the open. So when we look at the scripture above here, the invisible kingdom of Satan is represented by the demons, you all, and the invisible kingdom of God is represented by Jesus. And we are called to continue his ministry in his name. So we see that in John 14 and 12, that we are called to minister. We are called to go out, you know, and spread the word of God. He told us to go out before and to minister and to preach the gospel to all. So we are all called to minister, you all. You know, people say, well, I'm called ordained. You know, you've been called to preach the word of God. You've been called to go out and give the word of God as it is given to you, freely give to others so you can help those, even the believer, to stand fast in their belief and the non-believer to ask, how can I be saved? So I believe that Satan particularly fears the ministry of deliverance for two reasons. First, because, again, it brings his invisible kingdom out into the open. So he would much rather keep it a secret, you all. So second, because it shows the supremacy and the victory of God's kingdom over Satan's kingdom. So again, you all, as we examine here, you know, the topic of spiritual warfare with the passage in Matthew 12 to emphasize and establish for us, for you and all, what the New Testament clearly reveals, the two invisible spiritual kingdoms are at war with one another, the kingdom of God, you all, and the kingdom of Satan. Amen. Anyone have any questions? We're open for questions, amen, comments. You want to add anything to it?
Comment. I've got a stronghold. Nicotine is my stronghold.
Oh, my Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Yeah,
and you know what? And you can come against this. You can come against it. You can break that thing. You can call it out. I know my husband, that one show he was saying about when he had that stronghold, and you know, if you want to share with the love about, you know, the stronghold you had with smoking 6 years ago, how you were able to, you know, overcome and destroy that,
amen,
stronghold on your life.
Amen. I thank you for the opportunity. And I tell you what, I was about 18 or 19 years old, and I was started smoking cigarettes because somebody had it that influenced me to start smoking cigarettes. And you know, just to make a long story short, I had that habit. That habit stuck with me for some time, from 18 to about 28, to about 26 or 28. You know, I had to try to leave it alone for a little while, but then it came back. You know, I'll leave it alone for a little while, then it came back. Until this one particular day, I had realized that what that craving for that nicotine was doing. I wanted the cigarettes because it covered up what I was really dealing with. The very thing that I was dealing with, you know, every single time that I would go smoke a cigarette, you know, that put me in a place where it numbed me, or it just drugged me, or it numbed me a little bit, and I wasn't thinking about it. But the more I would start thinking about it, the more cigarettes I would smoke, just smoke, smoke, smoke. So this one particular day, I realized that this particular demon was much stronger than what I can deal with on my own. And literally these words came out of my mouth. I said, God, I can't do this without you. Do this. I said, I've tried to stop smoking cigarettes. I tried, but every time I try, it go away for a little while, but then it come back stronger and stronger and stronger. See, Father, if you would just take the taste out of my mouth, if you would take the taste of the nicotine, I don't want to have the taste for it no more, I would stop smoking. And you know what? It was like that right when I said that, I believed that, you know, that it was, you know, it was going to happen. Now, I had a pack of cigarettes, just bought the cigarettes, and it was when I said that, I looked at the cigarettes, and then I looked at, you know, that what God promised me in his word. He said, you know, whatever you know that I will do, you know, in the name of Jesus. And I took the cigarettes, and I broke them up, and I threw them in the trash can. I threw them in the trash. But it didn't stop right there, because anytime you try to get rid of something, you get rid of it for a little while, and then it try to come back. So I would go in the store. And here it is. My mind was conditioned to, every time I go in the store, to buy a pack of cigarettes. You know, the Holy Spirit ministered to me right there. He said, the Holy Spirit told me, stop buying. Stop spending your money, because you'll stop spending your money, right? You'll stop investing your money, what you trust into those cigarettes. Then you can be able to be stronger than it. And I had enough strength to stop buying them. When I stopped buying them, it was just like that nicotine addiction. It was already in place just to be gone away. And that, from that day all the way to now, I was about 28. From that day until now, I've been clean from cigarettes. I have not smoked cigarettes in over 10 years, about 10 years now. I mean, it's all because of God. It's all because that thing that was stronger than me gave it to God. I gave it. I didn't give it to God. Then I took it back. I gave it to God. I gave it to him. I gave it all over to him. And I told him I couldn't do this without you.
Right. You know, we give to God and not make excuses to go back. You know, that's the work of Satan, to go back and give it again because this ain't work for me. Or I'm upset, so let me say this or let me do that. Or, you know what, things ain't working for me, so let me drink. You know, that thing that you told, you gave it to God, you go back and get it because of situation, circumstances that the enemy has made, you know, happen in your life. So instead of you looking and saying, God, help me right now, you know, we'll decide to go ahead and do that because, you know, we make an excuse for it. Because of what's going on and not coming against that thing and saying, no, I decree and declare in the name of Jesus Christ that it is destroyed. Every stronghold right now is destroyed in the name of Jesus Christ. Devil, you alone. I've been delivered from that. You know, sometimes we have to walk away because remember, we're human. You know, we're in this flesh. The Bible tells us that the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. So the spirit in us is willing to do what's right, but the flesh is so weak. So we have to overcome our flesh. You know, even though I'm upset, I know better to say that because you're not operating in what kingdom are you operating in at that time, which is the kingdom of Satan. So as we're, you know, I know some people are just not getting the Bible studies. They're just, you know, logging into Bible study. We're talking about pulling down strongholds. We're talking about spiritual warfare and the kingdom of Satan. And I understand that there's two kingdoms. Satan has a kingdom and as well God. We know God has a kingdom. But Satan's kingdom is operating every day just like God's kingdom. You know, it's a fight every day, and it's a spiritual warfare. So let's continue on. We thank God because we're studying. We actually studied material came from Derek Prince, pulling down strongholds, you all, and he definitely blessed us, and we want to bless you all with it, you know, in reference to Scripture. So for a brief description of the kingdom of Satan, its headquarters, let's talk about that. We'll turn next to a Satan and Paul made that is absolutely key in our study today of spiritual warfare. The Bible says in Ephesians, you all, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. I'll give you all a little time to get there. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. All right. Ephesians. Hey, Jamel. God bless you.
Hello.
Hello. God bless you.
You can hear me?
God bless everybody. We all need a blessing, right? Hallelujah. We're going to encourage somebody else today to continue to serve God. So I mean, my mom on there. She drives. What is on me, mama? Ephesians 6:12. So we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So I want to say something extra about this scripture, you all, because a lot of times a person is. I was telling my mom today, I said, you know, we don't hate the sinner, we hate the sin. We don't hate you, we hate what's in you, what's operating, that spirit of Satan, you know, because we can allow Satan to take hold of us, and I realize it, now I'm allowing Satan to operate in me, this evil spirit, to say things, to do things that is not of God, that is not of God's kingdom. So when we look in Ephesians 6:12, I understand it, so today, to aid in our understanding of what Paul was saying here about spiritual warfare, I would like to give you you all what the let Pastor Mann explain. I know a lot of times he studies Ephesians 6:12 all the time. It's something that he's always, you know, we talk about all the time because we have to understand that we are here. Pastor Mann, you want to take this from here?
Yes, Ephesians 6. Thank you. Ephesians 6:12 here. Ephesians 6:12, it says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. See, when we're talking about pulling down strongholds, you have to realize this wrestling is talking about spirits that I think it describes as without a body. We do not wrestle against spirits that's without a body. We wrestle against spirits with a body. See, now, when we talk, when you look at this, okay, it says, but against principalities. Principalities is talking about, you know, the rulers, you know, that's that has a stronghold over you. It's talking about, you know, mm-hmm. the powers, you know, the words or the authority or where they have placed themselves or where you have placed themselves. You know, that's it says about in this dark place. It says that's not who we wrestle against. That means that when you are in the mm-hmm. when you are in the body of Christ, you are part of the kingdom of God when you're in the body of Christ. See, now when you are in the body of Christ, here it is, you know, that you have a spirit that's not in the body of Christ, but it has attached itself to you, it has associated itself with you, then there's going to be a conflict. There's going to be a fight every single time. There's going to be a tug and a pull or a push, and it's always going to be. And that's what this scripture is trying to tell us, that we do not mm-hmm. wrestle against flesh and blood. I mean, we're not fighting amongst each other. It's the spirit that's mm-hmm. in me that's fighting against the spirit that's in you, because we are part of different kingdoms. Mm-hmm. We just end up being yes. in the same place. We have made friends or companionship with each other. And these things could be just be yourself. It could be the spirit that's in you and then another spirit that you allow to come inside of you, and then fighting amongst yourself. It can be that as well. It definitely can be that as well. So we have to know that the word of God, which is Jesus Christ, this is how you fight. You have to equip yourself and arm yourself every single day, all day. You can't just be a little bit in the word of God, but a lot of it in the word, in the world. Mm-hmm. How you expect to listen a lot of bit of the world and the people of the world and the spirits and the wickedness of this world and a little bit of God and think you can able to fight? Mm-hmm. Think you can be able to withstand? How can you be able to do it? You have to stay a lot of bit in the word of God, in Jesus Christ, and none in the world. The world of people are mm-hmm. listening unto the worldly things, are confining yourself or being conformed to this world, or stress, whatever it is, fighting and strife mm-hmm. and wrath and laziness, resentment, greediness and lustfulness and pride, the pride of life. Be in the word mm-hmm. of God. Be in the word of God. That's the only way. That's the only way that you're going to be able to live in this world and in the world to come, but live in this world in peace and harmony is in the word of God. Mm-hmm. That's how you pull down these strongholds, with the word of God. Don't move from that place. Amen.
Yeah. Because the moment you give them access, the moment you get a spirit, that spirit access into you, into your life, you know, it begins to destroy and to kill all that you have. You know, when you go to scripture, the scripture tells you that, you know, when you allow that spirit of a thief, that spirit of a robber, that spirit of a killer that enters into you, that's the spirit that comes from the kingdom of Satan, that spirit of lust, you know, the spirit of pride and envy, you know, the spirit of gluttony, it destroys us, you know, when you allow it. Not that you have the spirit of God in you, but then when you have the spirit, then you allow the spirit, the evil spirit to consume you. So now you're feeding that spirit. Ah, Mari Koboshata. You're feeding that spirit. What do you feed it with? Go ahead.
Put a star right there, Pastor. Put a star for you, what you just said right there. You know, you need to put a star. You say put a pier, put a star right there. Do you realize, we should all realize that, okay, when you have the Holy Spirit that operates inside of you, mm-hmm. don't you realize that the Holy Spirit is a part of the kingdom? So if you have the Holy Spirit in you, then guess what the kingdom of God is? The kingdom of God is inside of you. The kingdom of God is inside of you. So now we understand the strongholds now, because we know that, hey, whatever kingdom that's inside of you, this is what's going to come on the outside of you. So now that puts you in that place of understanding Ephesians 6. It said that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We don't wrestle with spirits without bodies. We wrestle with spirits with body, principalities and powers. Because what's in you going to come out. Now, if the right spirit ain't in you, you got to get that spirit up out of you. That spirit got to come out of you, because if that spirit don't come out of you, it will attack. It will attack you. It's going to attack your body. It's going to attack your family members. It's going to attack your home. It's going to attack your relationship. It's going to attack. Amen.
Mm-hmm. So when you're feeding the spirit, it's like feeding the spirit of God, the spirit is in you, the Holy Spirit. We feed it with the word of God. We study the word. We in prayer. You know, we in Bible study. We in service. And you're feeding yourself the word of God. You're staying in that. But when you're feeding yourself with the world is feeding you. You're feeding that evil spirit in you. you know, whether it's with alcohol or sex outside of, you know, sex outside of the marriage, you know, fornication or, you know, drinking, and that drinking till you get drunk. So now you're feeding that, or what's on television, you're allowing it to get in you. So you got the TV on, you got the social media on all day, and all the negativity that's in those things, that's on those things, now it's getting inside your spirit and it's feeding you. When you're trying to get away from something, you don't keep going through it. You don't, if you want to get, you want to stop eating pork, you don't eat nothing with pork in it. If it got a little bit of pork, it's still some pork. So you definitely want to do that.
Hallelujah.
You know, it's a spiritual walk. So we look here, you all, as we continue, but against rulers with various areas and descendant orders of authority. Let me stop right there, because I want to see if anybody has any questions or comments. I don't want to go too fast. I want to make sure that we are understanding, because this is Bible study, you all. So if you have any questions or comments, please do so. You all are open to speak. Anybody have any questions or comments about what's being taught tonight? No one?
No, I don't. I understand it really well.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Amen.
Yeah. It's been broken down really nice. It's been broken down.
But before. I got a comment.
Go ahead, Miss Connie.
I got a comment.
Hold on,
Karen. Go ahead, Miss Connie.
No, I was just saying that, yeah, it was broken down really good to make you understand really easy, so I appreciate that.
Okay, God bless you. Thank
Amen.
You. Amen. We thank God. Okay, Sharon, go ahead and share.
Yeah, I was listening to Pastor Manning about the cigarettes, and then I was like, you know, I had another stronghold too, but God delivered me from that. That was drinking. I used to drink every day. I get off from work. I drink about five or six beers. We just drunk the next day going to work.
My
God delivered me from that about, let me see. Oh, I want to say about 4 or 5 years. I don't drink like that no more. Don't even desire alcohol beverage.
Amen.
I said, I know he's going to deliver me from these cigarettes, because he said he would. And he don't
That's
lie.
Right.
He don't lie.
That's right.
Because what happens, you have a testimony that's going to help other people and help them to be delivered. You know, we talked about last Wednesday, our Bible study, we were talking about testimony and how our testimony is so important to the body of Christ. And so definitely, a lot of times we don't understand, Lord, I'm ready right now. So God is doing a new thing in you. And, you know, we have to decree and declare that we're coming out victorious. So we thank God. Thank God for your testimony. That's a testimony. And somebody needed to hear that on the line today.
That's right.
Does anybody else have any comments or concerns or want to add to the lesson? Jamel, you got it?
Yes, I got it.
Jamel, you got it?
Amen.
Amen. We thank God. All right. Sister Dudley, you good? Yeah. You got it?
Do stuff when we want him to do it, but he do it when it's his turn. He's going to be on time with it.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
We're not going to hold y'all much longer. Oh, you got it? Okay. God bless you. We're going to continue to pick this up. We're going to close out with one part of it, and then on next Wednesday, we'll continue to teach, you know, pulling down strongholds and spiritual warfare and the word denominators of darkness. We're going to walk this thing out together in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So you all make sure y'all have your pen and paper so that we can see the study, pulling down strongholds and breaking down. So that way you can always go back to it. You can study that word and you can pray that word and just watch God deliver you, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ. So as we're looking at here, as I continue, but against rulers with various areas and descendant orders of authority. So we see from this passage that Satan's kingdom is highly organized, you all. It's not an unorganized kingdom. Just like if you ever heard of anybody, you know, you find it this underground world, and they'll tell you, like, the drugs is a highly organized crime. Like, they have it set up as if they had, like, a real job, a 9-to-5. So Satan's kingdom is a highly organized kingdom, you all. So there are rulers in his kingdom, and each with a particular area of responsibility. So under each of those rulers are sub-rulers who are responsible for sub-areas in that kingdom, you all. So at first, it might seem as if Satan was very clever to devise such an organization. But this is not the case, y'all. So when most scholars believe that before Satan fell, when he was still a mighty angel of God, think about this. You have taught people something, and they went off and started some of their own, y'all. It has happened to some of the best of us. So here he was in charge of one-third of the angels in heaven, you all. So he led those angels into rebel against God, and together they were cast out of heaven. So Satan then simply set up a revival kingdom, keeping the organizational structure that he and his angels had followed when they were part of God's kingdom. So here we see Satan. So Satan gets no credit for his extremely clever organization. All he did was take what he learned from God, organizing his kingdom. So you are, it runs, it's organized because he's seen the Master, the Most High God, how God organized his kingdom. So now Satan has his own kingdom, organizes the same blueprint or floor plan that God had when he was in the kingdom of God. So, and I don't know if you all ever had something and you shared it with someone, or they was part of your group and they went out and started, you know, I do plays and write plays, and I've had people to come be a part of what I was doing. And the next thing, you know, they were trying to do the exact same thing I was doing. They even booked the same venue, actually stole some of my stuff, took some of my people that was in my cast. I had people that was in my cast. Next thing you know, they are part of somebody else's production, and they've given them some of my work. But it didn't work. It came to nothing. They tried. They probably did one or two shows in the same place, trying to use the same things, actually took one of my titles, took the B off and put an A, but it didn't work. It came to nothing. But that's the same thing with Satan did. And that's the same thing that he's doing right now. He's steady recruiting. He's recruiting people to operate in his kingdom. It's an organized kingdom. It's an organized kingdom. So understand there's two kingdoms. You all to continue to pull down strongholds and teach this the next Wednesday. We're going to continue to walk in this. I don't want to take us off track. I definitely want us to get this whole Wednesday, next Wednesday. We'll continue teaching Bible study, pulling down strongholds, you know, understanding spiritual warfare and the authority and how the kingdom works and dealing with spirits of darkness. It's just really, you know, having a good understanding. And then how do we pray? Because a lot of people want to know, well, how do I pray then? How do I engage in spiritual warfare? What do I do? How do I come against these strongholds? You know, what kind of prayer do I pray? Because some people have a basic prayer and they don't understand, you know, how do I come against this? And, you know, they'll call on other people. And it's good to congregate with your church. It's good to come together to war against this, you know, thing that we're fighting, the spiritual warfare. It's good to come together and war in the spirit, but have someone that can lead you to understand what you're doing so that when you come out, you don't be beat down or bruised, or man, you can't get up again. So when we understand what we're going in, and so you understand, a lot of times you can't go in this thing by yourself. You need to have somebody with you, covering you when you're going in spiritual warfare. That's very, very important. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody have any questions for me or for Pastor Dorsey Manning before we close out here at 7:53?
Well, speaking on how to pray, I was mm-hmm. watching Jesus of Nazareth, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I watched that for 3-4 days. I just kept watching it over and over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
this stuck in my mind. What Jesus said is, this is how you pray.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I pray every day, all day, morning, noon, and night.
And we'll talk about that too, so we can understand when you get to the God prayer. He said, this is how you pray, but he didn't say this is what you pray, but this is how you pray. And it teaches us, when we understand, well, this is how you pray, then what do we pray with this? It's like somebody giving you a layout how to do something. They're giving you the layout, you know, this is how you do it and how you do it, and versus this is what you do. So this is how you pray.
Right.
You will open it up first. So you got first step. This is what Jesus did. Then you got the second step. Then you got the third step. Then you got the fourth step. Then you got, it's kind of like writing a resume. You got the objective. You got the body. You got the clothes. You know, it's like that. And you put what's in there, what goes in those spots.
Right.
Father God, I just want to say thank you. I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, my Lord and Savior. I come surrendering all over to you. Glory to your name, God. Oh, Father God, be magnified and glorified, Lord. You want to honor God. So we'll talk about that to you all, you know, because a lot of times people think all you got to do is just say the Lord's Prayer, you know, our Father, which art in heaven, and that's it. No, he said, teach us how to pray. And that's a difference. And we'll talk about that, the breakdown of God's prayer, so we can understand, you know, how do we pray by the prayer that Jesus gave his disciples? Amen. Anybody
Amen.
Else have any questions or concerns they want to add to the Bible study on today? I'll give everybody a chance to get out of mute.
Represent the kingdom of God. Represent the kingdom of God. Ephesians 6:20 said we are ambassadors. Ambassadors mean we are representatives. So represent the kingdom of God. Don't represent the kingdom of Satan. And the way you represent the kingdom of God, stay in Jesus. Stay in the word of God. Read the word of God and say the word of God to one another. But that is what we are called to do. We're called to preach the gospel of grace and truth in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Well, God bless everyone tonight. Let us pray. Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord. We thank you for this set time that we can come to the God boldly to the throne of grace, asking and receiving in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we ask, oh God, that you forgive us for our sins right now, oh God. We come receiving forgiveness in the name of Jesus Christ, knowing that it's already done, oh God. Oh Lord, forgive us, oh God, as we repent and turn back to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh Father God, forgive us, oh God, outside of your will operating error, oh God. Oh Lord, cleanse us right now, oh Lord, purge us right now with hyssop, and we shall be clean. Wash us, and we shall be white. And so, oh Lord, create in us a clean heart, oh God, and renew a steadfast spirit right now. Lord, baptize us right now with your Holy Ghost and fire. Oh Lord, we just want to say thank you for forgiveness right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, forgive us for all our trespasses and transgressions and iniquities, Father God. Oh Lord, we just want to say thank you, oh God, for all that you're doing, all that you've done, and all that you're about to do, in the name of Jesus Christ of heaven. Oh Father God, we ask that you search our hearts on tonight, oh God. Anything that's not of you, oh God, we ask that you remove it right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we call out every spirit that's operating in us outside of the Holy Spirit to come out in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh Lord, make us over, God, make us new, oh God. Right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh Lord, we don't want to bring shame to your kingdom, oh God. Oh Lord, we want to bring honor and glory to your kingdom in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh Lord, close our mouth, oh God, if we say anything that's outside of your will. Oh Lord, let your word continue to be in our mouth, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that we can give to you one another, to encourage one another, oh God, to steadfast in your word, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Your God that's more than enough, oh God. We just want to say thank you, oh God, because you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for healing us, oh God, for you are Jehovah Rapha, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh God. We thank you, Jehovah Christ, for going before us, oh God, preparing the way, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father God, for giving your angels charges over us, oh God. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, to keep us in all our ways. Hallelujah to your name, God. We thank you, Father God, for we know we're not worthy, oh God, to deserve all that you do for us, oh God. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. Hallelujah. Teach us, oh God. Teach us, oh God. We give you our eyes, oh God. We give you our mouth. We give you our hands, our feet, our ears, oh God. We give it all over to you, Father God, withholding nothing.
All over to you, Lord. Holding nothing.
Thank you for your word on tonight, Lord. Allow your word to take root and manifest in us right now, oh God. May we hang up this phone, never to be the same, Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh Lord, we come ask you for all of you, Lord. Give us you. Everything else can wait, oh God. We thank you and we love you, oh God. We thank you for everyone that's on the line tonight, oh God. Touch every heart. Heal everybody, oh God. Bless every soul in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let peace come and be still and overtake us right now. Walk every house right now. Holy Spirit of the living God. Sit in every car right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, Lord, we need a word from you. We thank you for your word tonight. We thank you, oh God. And we shall fight in Jesus Christ's holy name. To God be the glory. And we seal this prayer with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that does all things with him and with the promises of God. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. To God be the glory. And we all say amen.
Amen.
And as it went forward, it was purpose on your heart tonight to sow into the word that went forward on tonight. You can send an offering to Pastor Chantelle at Cash App. So you can sow into the word on tonight. We lay it to make sure that we say that. I don't ever like to ask anybody to sow or give money, but we have to give the word and you know, be led to do what God said for you to do. So just sow into the word moving forward.
That's right.
You can do that either through Facebook or chat or any other way. So we thank God. God bless you all. Thank you and Sharon for your testimony and just being open and honest and just being transparent. You know, a lot of times people won't say I was this and I was that. You know, afraid of what somebody else gonna think or say. So I just thank God, you know, that you're being open and transparent because so many of us are here. You know,
Amen.
Not embarrassed to say that. That was me. I was that. And they probably go, man, that's me. I ain't gonna say nothing.
And we need, you know, in God's kingdom, we need people to be bold and confident that's going to go in and say, you know, yeah, that's me. That's you too. We can do it together. We can overcome this thing together. You don't have to stay there. You can decide. It's your choice. And we can,
right,
you know,
right.
go boldly mm-hmm. with confidence, you know, speaking the word of God, you know, delivering the word of God. Everywhere we go, people say, uh-uh, here she come. Uh-uh, here she come with that Bible. And she got a word, y'all. Let's get all rich and go. You know, so. We thank God. We want to be known for that.
Amen.
You know, the one that has the word of God is always praying. And I ain't trying to
I'm
hear all that today. He comes in.
I'm going to heaven. I don't care what they say about the Bible. I'm going to heaven, baby.
Amen. Yes, we
Amen.
All are. But we just need to pray for all
they
of us in heaven. Don't let the enemy to try to get you on track and think you're not. Yes. Amen. Amen. Anything you want
to
say before you close out, we're going
to
go ahead. Amen. God bless you, Mama. Anybody, I mean,
that's
anything you
want to think
before we close out here?
Amen. I think we pretty much, you know, got it wrapped up. You know, my wife, she's definitely, you know, operating in the Holy Spirit. But we thank God, you know, for you.
Most definitely.
You woman, you woman of God, to have the courage.
Amen.
To have the courage enough to preach this word. You know, as many words, you know, that we would preach, you know, maybe don't even resonate that much. But this word, this challenges you to, you know, to change or challenges you to keep on going on, keep on pressing forward in the mighty name
Amen.
Of Jesus.
In the mighty name
Amen.
Of Validate. Jesus. Amen. Tomorrow night at 8 p.m. we have the preaching, the pastor show. So same number, 845-277-9213. And then we're back Sunday service at 2 p.m. So you all be safe, and of course, those are the part of the family. We're all part of the same family. We have our family prayer line on Saturday morning at 10 a.m. So you all, God bless you, and I will see you all soon. I love you. We love you. And ain't nothing you can do about it.
Ain't nothing you can do about it. Love you.
Love you, babe. God bless you. Bless you, Mama. Love you, Jimmy. Love you, Aisha. Love you. Love you, Tiny. Love you, Dorfina, and everybody else. God bless you. Thank you.